The head of research for Sesame Street in the early years was Ed Palmer, a PhD from Oregon, whose specialty was the use of television as a teaching tool. When the Children's Television Workshop was founded in the late 1960s, Palmer was a natural recruit. "I was the only academic they could find doing research on children's TV," he says. Palmer's innovation was something he called the distractor. It was simply a slide projector and screen that he would set up next to a television monitor. On the monitor, he would play an episode of Sesame Street. On the screen adjacent to the monitor, he would run a slideshow, with one new slide every 7.5 seconds. "We had the most varied set of slides we could imagine," Palmer says. "We would have a boy riding down the street on his bike with his arms out, a picture of a tall building, a leaf floating through ripples of water, a rainbow, a picture taken through a microscope, an Escher drawing. Anything to be novel, that was the idea. Preschoolers would then be brought into the room, two at a time, and told to watch the television show. Palmer and his assistants would sit slightly to the side with a pencil and paper, quietly noting when they were watching Sesame Street and when they lost interest and looked instead at the slideshow. Every time the slide changed, Palmer and his assistants would make a new notation, so that by the end of the show they had an almost second-by-second account of what parts of the episode being tested managed to hold the viewer's attention and what parts did not. The distractor was a stickiness machine. "We'd take that big-sized chart paper, 2 by 3 feet, and tape several of those sheets together," Palmer remembers. "We had data points, remember, for every 7.5 seconds, which comes to close to 400 data points for a single program. And we'd connect all those dots with a red line, so it would look like a stock market report from Wall Street. It might plummet or gradually decline, and we'd say, 'Whoa, what's going on here?' At other times, it might hug the very top of the chart, and we'd say, 'Wow, that segment's really grabbing the attention of the kids.' We tabulated those distractor scores in percentages. We'd have it up to 100% sometimes. The average attention for most shows was around 85 to 90%. If the producers got that, they were happy. If they got around 50, they'd go back to the drawing board." The distractor showed that no single segment of the Sesame Street format should go beyond 4 minutes, and that 3 minutes was probably optimal. Palmer forced the producers to simplify dialogue and abandon certain techniques that they had taken from adult television. The most important thing that Palmer ever found out with the distractor came at the very beginning, before Sesame Street was even on the air. It was the summer of 1969, and we were a month and a half from air date, Gerald Lesser, a psychologist at Harvard University who was one of the show's founders, remembers. "We decided, let's go for broke. Let's produce 5 full shows, 1 hour each, before we go to air and see what we've got." To test the shows, Palmer took them down to Philadelphia, and over the 3rd week of July showed them to groups of preschoolers in 60 different homes. It was a difficult period. Philadelphia was in the midst of a heat wave, which made the children who were supposed to watch the show restless and inattentive. In the same week as well, Apollo 11 landed on the moon, and some children understandably seemed to prefer that historic moment to Sesame Street. Worse for the conclusions was Palmer's distractor. "What we found," Lesser says, "almost destroyed us."